fine. I asked her to stay because I wasn't sure I could go through with it.
Chapter 12. This was truth that he'd hesitantly revealed. Because you were my boss? He finally looked at me, and his face was a mess.
Because I wasn't planning on taking off the blindfold, so I wasn't sure I could be that guy. The one you were forced to sleep with to fix a mistake that was as much mine as it was yours.
The guilt he carried over my mistake was crushing. Still crushing him. I never wanted to kiss him more than I did right then. That mistake brought us together, I whispered in his ear. He blinked, stunned, and realization slowly washed over his face. The hand on me tightened subtly. Peyton looked pleased and snatched the drink up off of the bar. Keep that in mind, Logan. I am the human lie detector, so don't bullshit my girl.
Understood.
Did you like performing for Tara? She waved to a guy across the way from us who shot back a, who me, look. She nodded, motioning for him to come over. Would you want to do that again? Logan and I exchanged a look. Why are you asking? I said. She shrugged. Tara said you two together were like the hottest thing she'd seen. The guy she'd waved over was working his way through the throng of people. I want to watch you two fuck. Logan had no response. He turned to me with those same stunned eyes. Peyton, I said, I'm not comfortable with that.
Why not?
Because I'm not sure I'm comfortable with anyone watching, and you're my best friend. It's just too weird. Again, she shrugged and tousled her hair when the guy walked over.
Do I know you?
He asked, a curious smile on his face. No. She replied, wouldn't you like to? I had warned Logan during the drive into the city that Peyton was direct and sexual, but even this request had shocked me.
That was interesting,
he said, holding the bar door open for me as we left. Yeah, and embarrassing. I'm sorry. His face was completely serious.
Why? Didn't you think it was flattering?
My best friend wanted to watch us. Awkward, yes, but flattering? I don't know, I guess. He looked amused.
Don't worry, I'm perfectly happy without an audience.
I walked beside him, desperate not to appear I was limping on the shoes. He fumbled with his keys, and when the door was unlocked, he didn't open it. Instead, he pressed me back against it. His lips brushed over my neck, and sparks shimmered through my skin. Electricity showering down on me. My hands went inside his jacket and around his waist, holding his hard body against mine. But it wasn't enough. I want you, I said. In fact, I might have purred it.
Hope you don't mind if I drive fast, then.
No, I didn't. I put my hand on his lap as he drove, high above his knee, the side of my pinky finger against his semi-hard dick. What type of sex waited for me in his apartment? Whatever kind, it was sure to be intense. It didn't seem like Logan was capable of having mediocre, run-of-the-mill sex. On the elevator ride up, his mouth was hot by my ear.
Where are your panties?
I flushed under his victorious gaze. I'd left them in his car, forgotten. You know where they are, boss. He dropped my bags just inside the door and didn't bother with any lights, which only made the view out the window more unbelievable. I was drawn toward it, and the orange-yellow line of the streetlights on Lakeshore Drive. Arms circled me from behind and pressed me forward, further until I was up against the cold glass. He didn't say anything, not that he had to. His body pressed into me, molded to mine, his hips surging forward while hands pulled me to arch back into him. His teeth nipped at my ear. His mouth feathered kisses lower. I fogged the glass with each staggered breath I took and enjoyed the rush to be right against the glass, 44 stories up in the air. It was a back zipper on the dress, which I felt him draw down ever so slowly, like he was going tooth by tooth. Fingers slipped under my bra band and it went slack, undone, but he wasn't so much undressing me as he was getting clothes out of his way, moving them to the side so he could slip his large hands inside the dress, sliding them over my skin, caressing my back. My palms were flat on the glass by my chest, so when his fingernails raked gently down my skin, I tried to push off. I was already insane for him.
"No,"
he said, one hand pressing my shoulder back into the glass while his hips moved, insinuating that he wanted to fuck me right here, right like this. His dick was hard against my ass, pressing into me.
"Keep your hands on the glass."
My feet were killing me. The strap across my toes bit into my flesh, but I followed his orders, and he rewarded me by pulling one shoulder of the dress and bra down, and then the other, so they were bunched around my waist. My nipples were tight and hard, and he skimmed his fingers over one before rolling it between his thumb and forefinger, pushing it forward to kiss the cold pane of glass. I made a noise of satisfaction and desperation. I didn't want foreplay. That's what the last 3 days had been. I whimpered, and a belt unbuckled. His zipper was undone. Air was cool on my ass cheeks when he hiked the skirt of the dress up to my waist, so the whole dress was bunched there. Without words, he used his body to show me how he needed me to be to best bring us together, pulling my lower body away from the glass and leaning me over. I was dripping wet between my thighs, and he took full advantage. His dick slipped between the hollow of my legs, rubbing himself in my wetness, getting himself ready to take me. His soft skin against my slick skin, with no latex between us, made me tremble.
"Are you okay with this?"
he asked, his subtle movement teasing me.
"No condom?"
"I've never done that before, but yeah." He blew out a long breath and then positioned himself so he could press into me, pushing slowly. My eyes were closed and my arms crossed on the glass, my forehead resting on them.
"Holy fuck,"
he whispered.
"Something that feels this good should be illegal."
And he wasn't even inside me all the way yet. My body wasn't as resistant as before. It was hardly uncomfortable. I could feel everything, every inch as he advanced in me.
"Does it feel good?"
"Yes," I gasped. "Oh my God, more." I moaned and bit my lip when he pushed all the way in, his skin against the skin of my backside. Just having him inside me was like setting the roller coaster cars on the track, climbing up that first big hill. His hands were on the dress at my waist, holding it in place. He seemed to be holding himself in place.
"Are you ready?"
he asked. "Ready? Ready for..." A sound of immense pleasure welled up from deep inside me when he withdrew and then slammed back into me, deeper than he'd been before, all of him touching me inside and out. He fucked me harder with each thrust until I couldn't breathe. My legs shook, my eyes rolled back into my head. It had never been like this before. My cries of pleasure swelled as my orgasm approached like a freight train. I had to put my hands flat on the glass again to steady myself as he drove into me. "I'm going to," my panicked voice said. "Oh, shit." I knew I was supposed to do something, but I couldn't think what. The next thrust would be the one to get me there. That was all I could think of, but every thrust only took me higher.
"Yes, Evie,"
he said.
"Come for me."
He pushed so deep inside me, I screamed. At least I think I did. My climax gripped me. It made my ears go deaf. My forehead was against the glass where beads of sweat had made it slippery. The muscles inside me flexed over and over again, and I rode the remainder of the orgasm out on him.
"No,"
I heard him groan.
"No, fuck."
His hands were tight on me, clamping down on my waist. Who the hell was he talking to? Himself. Because he was coming. Once he'd gone too far to pull himself back, he gave up fighting and pumped his dick in and out furiously until his body seized.
"Fuck, Evie. Fuck."
The throbbing inside me was strong, a series of jerks followed by a rush of heat as he shot into me. The sensation was so unexpectedly hot, I quieted a moan and dragged a hand down the glass, Titanic style.
"I don't remember,"
I gasped. Giving you permission.
Yeah, well, maybe don't scream when you're coming all over my cock.
I turned to look over my shoulder at him. I don't know where the playful words came from. Hey, don't blame me, asshole. It's not my fault you don't have any self-control. Genuine shock on his face morphed into a hard look, and I gasped. Oh, no. He pulled out of me suddenly. It had been a joke. His hand came down so fast, I heard the smack before I felt the sting of his fingers on the flesh of my backside. Heat all but incinerated me.
I have plenty of control,
he whispered, rubbing where he'd just struck me.
Maybe I just won't let you come anymore. Would you like that?
I simultaneously felt relief and concern. He wasn't mad about the asshole comment. In fact, he looked like he enjoyed it. But I absolutely believed he'd make good on his threat if he needed to. No, I wouldn't, I replied.
I thought so.
He helped me to stand up, the dress falling to my ankles. Feeling had returned to my body, and now my feet screamed in protest. I put a hand on his shoulder to steady myself and bent a knee to undo the strap, but his arms went around my body and lifted me off of my feet. He carried me a few steps to the couch and set me down, bending on a knee so he could undo the tiny buckle holding the suffering shoe in place. He had a weird, bashful look on his face. Guilt. What is it?
You wanted to take these off before we started, and I didn't let you.
When the shoe was slipped off, he rubbed the sensitive flesh beneath it gently and went to the other one. You knew the shoes were hurting me? He nodded.
But doing it like that,
he gestured to where he'd pressed me against the glass.
We needed the extra height.
I choked a laugh. I'll survive. You, on the other hand, broke one of your own rules.
I did. I have an idea for a consequence if you want to hear it.
He scooped me up into his arms and lifted me from the couch, lumbering with me toward the bedroom. I'm all ears. He set me in the center of the bed and stepped back, undoing the cuffs of his dress shirt.
Since I couldn't follow the rule, you don't have to next time.
Interesting, but you can do better than that.
All right, the rest of the weekend.
He pulled his shoes and socks off and stepped out of his pants so he was as naked as I was. I smiled in acceptance. He'd said it begrudgingly, like this was a huge concession, and I relished it. I wouldn't have pegged you for a cuddler, I said when he slipped into the bed. He was on his back and pulled me up against him so my cheek was on his shoulder. He was warm, and his cologne smelled amazing, like a man. His hand went to my knee and pulled it over his thigh to tuck me around him, our damp skin sticking together.
You're surprised I want to have a beautiful naked woman draped on me?
Not when you put it like that, no. I put my hand on his chest and let my fingers wander, tracing patterns over his heart. He turned his head and brushed his lips over my forehead in a kiss, and then sighed.
It's getting late,
he said in a hushed voice.
And we've got a long day tomorrow.
I know, I said. I just like touching you. Feel free to fall asleep.
So you can steal my virtue? No, thank you.
His arms tightened on me.
Sleep. You could have your way with me tomorrow.
I woke early and alone and called out to him but got no response. I yanked the sheet off the bed and wrapped it around myself, then roamed into the kitchen to discover the note he'd left for me there.
Gone for a run. Be back by 7:45. Diet Coke in the fridge.
Years of working together had taught him I didn't start my day with coffee, but with a silver can of soda. I cinched the sheet tighter at the cold from the fridge, retrieving the can, and when I shut the door, I glanced into the living room. The clothes we'd dropped in there were gone. He must have hung them up while I was sleeping. There was a spray bottle of Windex with a towel folded over top from where he'd cleaned the glass. What a little neat freak he was. It brought a smile to my face when I wondered if he got turned on cleaning the smudges we'd put there. I popped the top on the can and took a sip when I heard the door open behind me.
It's fucking hot out there, he said.
I almost dropped the can when I turned to face him. He had on a pair of shoes and shorts, but no shirt, and a black armband that carried his iPhone. Sweat rolled down his flushed face and dripped from his tanned and toned chest. He pulled a bottle of Gatorade from the fridge and drank while undoing the Velcro of his armband and then set it on the counter. I just stood there, awestruck, as he finished the entire bottle. He tossed it in the recycling bin, pulled a water bottle from the fridge, and turned his focus to me.
I'm sorry I had to go out, but I have to stick to my training schedule.
He took a breath, looking concerned.
You okay?
I'm just trying not to drool. A smile broke on his face.
I'm a sweaty mess. You're the one wearing nothing but my sheets. Take them off.
Why?
Because I'd like to fuck you in the shower, if you don't mind.
Sometimes I think he said things like that to catch me off guard, but I loved throwing it right back at him. I dropped the sheet to the floor. I guess we could do that. There was a crunch of plastic as his grip tightened on the bottle. Chapter 13. This was another first for me. It's not like the showers in my college apartments were spacious or remotely sexy, and the shower in my place now barely had room for one. I stood awkwardly in the semi-hallway between his bedroom and bathroom, watching him tow off his shoes and toss his socks into a laundry basket. In one swift move, he yanked down his shorts and boxers and added them to the basket, his feet falling heavily on the floor as he moved toward me. It was bizarre, this feeling of nervousness I had, and I shook my head as if that could shake the sensation from my body. He'd seen me naked plenty, and I'd been up close and personal with his anatomy. Yet there was sunlight flooding every inch of his apartment, and it was like a spotlight on every flaw in my body. He looked at me like they didn't exist. He gave me a gaze filled with pure, unadulterated lust. This man desired me like no one else. My feet moved backward into the bathroom so I wouldn't break his gaze. I had blinders on. Nothing else existed.
Are you running from me?
He asked when I backed up with a thud into the wide glass door of his shower. No, I like looking at you. I like how you look at me. Logan's shoulders lifted in a deep breath, and his eyes softened. Whoa, he liked hearing that. A hand reached out and took my wrist and silently asked me to step forward so he could pull the door open and start the water. It rained down from the ceiling and the large subway-tiled glass enclosure. I'd never thought of describing a bathroom as sexy, but this room was full of sex, and not just because he was standing in it.
I should probably warn you, we don't really have a lot of time. I know traffic's going to be bad on 90.
So you're telling me no dilly-dallying? Let's get right to the sex? He had an enigmatic smile.
Something like that.
He pulled the door open again.
Ladies first.
I stepped in and under the water, wiping my hair back out of my face. It was hot. I took another step further into the spacious shower to allow him to get in. Instead, his body crushed me flat against the tile, his defined chest in my back.
It's going to be hard and fast and rough. If you want to stop, tell me.
He commanded. All of the air left my body in an instant. He wanted it rough enough we needed a warning? He slipped me around to face him and leaned me back into the tile wall, water pouring down the intense expression on his face. He had one hand stroking his dick and the other buried between my legs, his thick fingers teasing me. I wasn't sure my body could go from 0 to 60, but I was already turned on at the sight of him. The way his hand touched and rubbed me, caressed me, it took no time for the ache to build to fever pitch.
Do you want my cock?
I nodded, already too drunk with desire to find words easily.
Say it.
I want your cock, I said on a broken, shuddering breath.
Where? Here?
He shoved a finger inside me, unapologetic. His face was shocking and dark, like a predator, and I was his cornered prey.
Beg me for it.
I swallowed, Not really sure how to do that. Please, Logan.
Not good enough. Make me believe.
The water ran into my eyes and made him blurry. His fingers moved in a wicked sequence, touching me outside and then plunging inside. Each time he repeated it, my need and agony grew. Please, I cried. Please, I have to have it. I need it.
What do you need?
Your cock. I trembled, out of control and falling apart. I need what only you can give me. His nostrils flared in approval. Then the predator descended upon me. Hands went to the insides of my thighs and urged them apart, lifting one of my knees up so it was hooked over his forearm. His hands braced himself on the wall, and he bent his knees so he was at just the right angle to impale me in one swift move. I gave a sharp hiss at the invasion, my body not used to his size so suddenly. I wrapped my arms around his neck, having to hold on when he fucked me. It was just as he'd said it would be, hard and fast. My body slammed into the wall from his thrusts. The sound of us colliding over and over again was just loud enough over the shower. The water running off of him was salty with sweat, and I licked my lips, tasting it, tasting him, since we hadn't kissed. The hand not holding my leg up abandoned the wall and locked onto my breast, squeezing so hard it was right at the edge of pain. But it was so fucking hot. Not just the shower, but what he was doing. I should have been upset by this, that there had been no requests or apologies, no compromise. This was all about his pleasure. I was a prop, a doll for his command. Yet I loved this, surrendering completely to him, allowing him to take exactly what he wanted, letting him yank my other knee up around him so he held me up, pinned to the wall, and could drive into me harder, crashing my back against the unforgiving tile. I arched, pressing my breasts against him, letting my wet body slide against his.
This pussy is mine. He growled. No one else has been inside it like I have.
God, the stuff he said. I was grateful we were in the shower, because it sent a rush of liquid desire straight to my center. This feral, alpha male version of Logan was scary and thrilling, and I was drawn to it, eager to submit. This pussy is yours, I repeated back to him, and he made a sound of pure satisfaction. My orgasm came out of nowhere. By the time I had an inkling of it, I was already in the throes, past the point of no return. Electricity jolted down my spine. I gasped when I came, moaning in his ear over and over until it subsided. He dropped my legs and pulled out of me, no warning or explanation. His rough hands whirled me around, putting me in the same position I'd been in last night, my hands flush against the tile. He didn't have to tell me to keep them there. I had no choice unless I wanted him to literally bang my head into the wall. His furious pace created a slap between our bodies.
You like it when I fuck you hard?
He asked. Yes. I was panting, much like I'd done that night on the table. 1 week ago. It felt like a lifetime had passed since then. The air was thick with steam, and I felt like I was breathing in water, drowning in it. He put a hand in my hair at the nape of my neck and yanked, bending my head back toward him. It hurt this time. It was awkward and made me feel powerless, dominated. So, of course, I enjoyed it. This was why he had warned me? A little hair pulling? No. It had more to do with the hand that was in the small of my back, drifting lower, closer to his body inside me, sliding into the crevice between my cheeks. My heart was already racing, threatening to explode, and I started to shake when he pressed his thumb against my entrance there. Just the feeling of him was shocking and confusing like last time, and just as pleasurable. He increased the pressure and started to invade me. He hadn't slowed down a beat on his thrusts, but my thoughts were firmly focused on the finger working deeper inside me, a burning and uncomfortable sensation, usually off limits. But fuck, it turned me on. I shouldn't like it, but I really fucking did. He pushed in deeper until I think his thumb was as far as it would go.
You like that, dirty girl?
My throat closed up and I couldn't nod my head because of his hold on my hair, but holy fucking shit, I did. I shouldn't. It was so wrong.
I bet you do. I bet you want more.
The burning sensation was gone and then shifted. He slipped his index and forefingers inside. I held my tongue that wanted to tell him to wait. I could do this.
I'm going to fuck you here.
Before I could respond, he added,
Not right now, but soon as you're ready, I'm going to fuck this tight little virgin ass.
For effect, his fingers moved slowly, in and out, in contrast to what his dick was doing. It wasn't really uncomfortable. My body relaxed to his movement, and the first wave of enjoyment washed over me. But it was a million degrees in the shower.
It's okay to like it,
he said, as if reading my mind, the one that was in total panic. I clawed at the wall, shaking apart. Oh, God, I was going to come. It was going to be loud. I'm going to scream. Each breath was a giant struggle.
Go ahead.
He released my hair. His hand dragged up my neck and curled around my face until his palm was firmly covering my mouth. So my scream fell against his skin, muffling it somewhat, but it still echoed in the vast space, and it set him off as well with a whole tirade of dirty words and jerky thrusts as he came. Most of what he said I couldn't understand. I was busy trying not to collapse. The orgasm had been epic and gave me shaky legs, and his hand remained around my mouth, making it almost impossible to breathe. He removed his fingers from me, but as soon as I'd come, I wanted them gone. My body felt overloaded. His hands closed around my waist and pulled me upright and back against him, so he was holding me from behind. I couldn't catch my breath. Where was the air?
Are you okay?
He asked with a decent level of concern. I tried to nod, but it only made me dizzier. The water falling around me looked wrong. It was falling much too fast. I couldn't... Black.
Evie!
He peered down at me, his face terrified. What the hell? He had me cradled in his arms and he was kneeling on the floor of the shower. What happened? He squeezed me, hugging me tightly to him, crushing me.
Jesus, you scared the shit out of me.
Logan, stop. How did we end up on the floor? He relaxed his hold, and his head over mine shielded me from the falling water. When he smoothed a clump of wet hair back off of my face, I could see the subtle shake of his hand.
You passed out.
I looked away, because his panicked face was devastating. I tried to sit up, but his arms were reluctant to release me. I'm okay. I just got really hot. He helped me move across the floor, positioning me so I was sitting against one of the walls, and he threw open the shower door. He stormed through it, abandoning me there with absolutely no words. I stared out the glass, dumbfounded. How could he just leave? He was back a moment later, naked, dripping wet, a water bottle in hand. Oh. He stepped back in and turned the water temperature down so it was just barely warm, then knelt beside me, unscrewing the top and offering the bottle. When I took it, he sat back from me and ran a hand through his dark hair. He looked horribly unsettled. I'm sorry, I said. He stared at me with disbelief.
I'm the one who did that to you. My body core temp got messed up from coming into air conditioning after the run. I had no idea the water was too hot.
I'm okay, really. I took a sip of water, already feeling almost normal again. You need to stop looking at me like I'm dying. It's freaking me out. He was unconvinced. When I tried to stand, he put his hands on my shoulders and stopped me. I wrapped my hand around his wrists. I'm fine, I said, and we don't have time to hang out on the floor of your shower. Appealing to his practical side worked, although he looked uneasy about it. I let him help me up and pretended not to notice how intently he studied me. Shit, I grumbled. Is that the only shampoo you have? I don't want to smell like a guy. He barely said anything else to me during the shower, except to tell me to finish drinking all of the water in the water bottle. He had to get out of the shower a second time to dig under his sink for a half-empty container of hotel shampoo. I tried to get him past what had happened, a simple mistake, but he couldn't let it go. I hurried getting dressed, trying to recover lost time from my fainting in the shower. I didn't want him to dwell on it more than I suspected he already was, or for him to have to come up with some excuse for why he was late. I could hear it now. "Sorry I'm late, Nick, on your special day, but I was busy fucking my girlfriend in the shower so hard I made her pass out." I'm sure that would go over well. He was dressed in jeans and a simple black V-neck shirt, sitting on the bed, his phone in hand, although he wasn't paying attention to it. He was still sulking, and I wasn't having it. "I want to talk about the shower," I said, sitting beside him on my knees on the bed.
"Which part? When I suffocated you, or when I gave you heat stroke?"
His voice was filled with self-loathing. "I want to talk about the man in there."
"It won't happen again."
It was hushed, ashamed. "Why not?" I put my hand on top of his on the bed. "Couldn't you tell I loved it?" He looked gorgeous, even when he was visibly confused and conflicted.
"Evie."
"I'm not saying I want it like that every time, but I love never knowing how you're going to come at me," I said. "You're kind of an adventure, boss." He came up off of the bed and put his hands on my waist, drawing me to him and kissing me chastely on my forehead.
"Are you ready to go?"
"As soon as you go back to treating me like you were before, asshole," I said with a wide smile I hope reached all the way to my eyes. He took a breath.
"All right."
His face softened and turned playful.
"I want to take off your clothes and taste that pussy."
My mouth fell open. "Do we have enough time?" I asked, hopeful.
"No. I'll take a rain check, though."
Having a steering wheel under my hands was foreign. It had been ages since I'd driven. Because I was nervous about traffic and driving Logan's car and the whole meeting his entire family thing, I left with plenty of time. For once in my life, I wasn't late. I parked behind the church with an enormous white steeple and did a final check of my makeup. I hadn't seen Logan since I dropped him at his brother's hotel room this morning. There were friendly smiles when I joined people heading into the church, but no faces I recognized until I spotted him. He was huddled up with the other groomsmen by the interior doors. Holy Mother of God, he looked amazing. A black tux with a simple black bow tie, James Bond style. He must have sensed my arrival because his head turned toward me. Logan's gaze started at my rhinestone-strapped sandals and worked its way up, lingering on the royal blue one-shoulder dress that matched my eyes. He spent an indecent amount of time staring at my chest. He liked what he saw. I understood. It took an iron grip on my self-control to keep my indecent thoughts from seeping onto my face or out of my mouth as he approached me.
"You look amazing."
He kissed my cheek. "I believe that's my line."
"Come on, I've got a seat for you beside Chelsea."
Chelsea? That was the friendly cousin's name I had chatted with during the rehearsal. I slipped my arm into Logan's, and just as we crossed through the interior, Garrett passed me a ceremony program. It was beautifully understated in design, and Logan to a T.
"Don't critique me too hard," he said. "Hillary was rather specific."
"No promises." As stated, Chelsea had an open spot beside her that I slid into, giving her a smile. She looked nervous, rereading the weathered piece of paper in her hand that had notes written in the margin. I admired the program while the string quartet began the processional. Sometimes weddings seem to last a lifetime, and others seem impossibly short, and this one fell into the latter category. Hillary looked stunning in her antique lace dress. Her wild mane of hair had been styled back into a soft updo with a cathedral veil pinned beneath, and while Nick was a handsome groom, my eyes were glued to the man on his left. Despite her notes, Chelsea zipped through the reading in less than a minute. It was a big wedding, and I could understand why she'd been nervous. The kiss at the end was just like Nick and Hillary. Adorable. He kissed her much too quickly, so she went back for seconds, drawing chuckles from the guests. Logan found me after the recessional, introducing me to some aunts and uncles, and nice people I had absolutely no hope of remembering.
"We've got pictures now," he said. "I'll come find you as soon as I can when we're done."
"I'm fine. I've got Chelsea to latch on to," I joked. although not really. I waited until the parking lot drained of cars, and then drove the 10 minutes to the country club. Cocktail hour had already begun in the garden behind the ballroom. Servers with silver trays offered various hors d'oeuvres, and a line had formed at the open bar. Chelsea spotted me and waved me over. More family to meet, and the questions began now. How did you two meet? How long have you been together? And my personal favorite, how do you feel about kids? Yikes. I had to remind myself of the lie, since it had been an actual week. Even with the lie, 2 months dating seemed a bit too soon to be prying into that. I worked my way through the line beside Chelsea to get a rum and Diet Coke.
It was a disaster, she said about her reading. Did you understand a single word?
You enunciated really well.
Oh, you're sweet, but you're not a convincing liar.
Chelsea laughed and swirled her drink. We stood off to one side of the garden where the perfume from the rose bushes clung heavy in the air. It was a beautiful day, although hot. Logan must be sweating up a storm in that tux, which, of course, made me think about when he'd appeared shirtless and drenched in sweat this morning.
What the hell?
Chelsea muttered under her breath. She turned to me, panic streaking her face.
Maybe you should...
A woman approached us, staying on the path so she wouldn't sink into the soft grass, her slender legs extending above stiletto-clad feet. She was oblivious to the effects of the sun, not a perfectly styled hair out of place. It was like looking in the mirror, only one that reflected back the complete opposite of what I was. For instance, I was an inch shorter than average, with thick thighs, whereas she was tall and rail thin, blonde, with a model pouty face that men seemed to find so appealing. She looked like she was maybe 30. Picture perfect. She gave Chelsea a smile, but it was cold and unfeeling.
Wow, it's been a while.
I'd known Chelsea all of 3 hours, and I could tell this was strained.
Yeah,
the blonde said. I don't think she was capable of sweating, like it was beneath her.
How have you been?
Good. And yourself? The blonde's flat smile continued.
I've been great.
Good for you. I'm a little surprised to see you here. Chelsea's voice was uneven. And I can think of some other people who might be surprised, too. The blonde gave a tinny laugh. Susan invited my parents, but my dad's sick. Nick's practically family to me, so here I am. Her dusty green eyes turned to me. I don't believe we've met. You must be from Hillary's side. She held a manicured hand out to me for a handshake, which I took. Her cold hand was soft like silk. How the hell was she cold in this heat?
Actually, I answered, I'm Logan's girlfriend, Evelyn Russell.
The hand froze, tightened on mine while her gaze flew to Chelsea as if demanding confirmation. All Chelsea did was take a long sip of her drink, and the blonde's eyes returned to me, narrow and assessing. She let out a strange noise, a bitter laugh like she'd just heard the most ridiculous thing in her life.
Nice to meet you.
It sounded like pure bullshit.
I'm April Kelly.
Those words came out weighted. It was revealed as a seemingly recognizable name, although I hadn't a clue.
Nice to meet you too,
I said, giving her a blank look that wiped the smile from her face.
How long have you and Logan been seeing each other?
A couple of months. April had a bizarre expression.
I hadn't heard he'd started dating again.
Her voice fell down an octave. But it's not like we talk these days. Every cell in my brain screamed that she was one of Logan's ex-girlfriends. It wasn't surprising. Her cold and distant personality was similar to his at times, although I think she was at level expert. She was stunningly beautiful. They must have made a gorgeous couple. Chelsea's reaction told me I had to tread lightly. The breakup between them hadn't gone well. I wondered immediately who had ended it. In my experience, you can come out just as wounded when you're the one who breaks it off, so it was too hard to know from her thinly veiled contempt if it was his doing.
Well, Chelsea said, I'm glad to hear you're doing good, April. We should probably go mingle with my family. Some of them came up from Florida, and I don't get to see them often. Chelsea gestured back toward the swarm of people by the bar. Evelyn?
Okay, April said. She smiled like the Cheshire Cat, as if aware she'd sent Chelsea running. Nice meeting you.
You too,
I responded, hurrying to keep up with Chelsea. I waited until we were well out of earshot, but Chelsea beat me to it.
I'm so sorry about that, she said. That had to be really awkward.
Yeah, probably, except I still don't know who she is. She's one of Logan's exes? Chelsea's mouth dropped open.
He didn't tell you?
No, tell me what. She's not one of his exes. She's his only ex. They were together for 12 years.
Chapter 14.
12 freaking years. That's not a relationship. That's a marriage. He spent 12 years with that calculating woman. Was that why he was the way he was? Had she trained him to be such a tidy, neat freak? Oh, God, was that why he was obsessed with controlling me in the bedroom? I finished my drink and snatched a bottle of water off one of the trays of a server who passed by. It solved the problem of my cotton mouth. No, I said. He's never mentioned her. I cannot believe she came. She's got some balls on her. Logan never told us what happened between them, but whatever it was bad, because suddenly April's name was like Voldemort's, she who shall not be named. When was this? I don't know, a while, maybe 3 years ago. Things came into focus. If I'd invested 12 years in another person, only to have it fall apart, I'd be hesitant to get back into a relationship too. He's not going to like that she's here, Chelsea added. Well, what's a wedding without a little drama? I responded in a humorless joke. A text message came from him a few minutes later, telling me pictures had run long, but they were in the limo and on their way. I was composing a response to warn him about April when an elderly couple approached. Logan's cute grandparents wanted to meet his new girlfriend. Knowing what I did now, his earlier comments made more sense. Was I really only his second girlfriend? I pocketed my phone out of courtesy and beamed a smile to them. Was his family as confused as I was about Logan choosing me as a girlfriend? I don't think April and I could be more different if I tried. 2 minutes into the conversation, I felt a warm hand on my hip, and Logan appeared on the other side.
Hi, he said. Evie, do you mind?
He pointed at the water bottle in my hand. I passed it to him and watched him finish it. Chatted with his grandparents for another minute, and then the staff was asking for the wedding party to line up for announcements.
I'll see you inside,
he said, giving me a squeeze and following the rest of the bridal party toward the entrance. I wanted to tell him, but really, what good would that do right now? I followed the herd of people moving into the elaborate banquet room, picking up my seating card. Thank God Nick and Hillary had opted for a sweetheart table so I could sit beside Logan. The bridal party's announcement was thankfully short, and our table filled, first with his mother and stepfather, then Garrett, and finally Logan. The maid of honor didn't sit. She went straight to the microphone and began her toast, which meant Logan would be up right after.
Are you nervous?
I asked him. I had forgotten about this duty and hadn't seen him practice. He didn't reach into his jacket to pull out notes.
I'm fine,
he whispered back, cool as a cucumber. The maid of honor gave a toast that was more of a roast of her sister, throwing out comments about how thrilled their parents were to have Hillary off the payroll. Hillary was a good sport about it, and Nick seemed to think it was hilarious. The sister ended it on a sweet note, and we were clinking glasses. Logan kept hold of his champagne and stood, moving to take the offered microphone from her.
Some of you might not know the real story on how Hillary and Nick met, and if you two don't mind, I'd like to share it now.
Nick and Hillary exchanged a nervous smile with each other.
The story that they tell is while they were in college, Hillary and her friend Katie were walking home from the library late at night and discovered Nick. He'd lost his wallet outside just a few minutes before and asked them to help him look. While doing this, Hillary stepped off the curb and twisted her ankle, and Nick had to carry her back to the dorm. They didn't find his wallet, but they found each other instead.
A smile twisted on his lips, and I took a deep breath. Seeing him stand up there, all eyes on him, yet so comfortable, was intoxicating.
It's a nice story, but they leave out some critical details.
His smile grew into a grin, while the nervous one on Nick's lips started to fade.
Nick didn't lose his wallet. He'd seen Katie and Hillary getting ready to leave and devised the lost wallet story because he wanted to get her number. Not Hillary's, but Katie's.
You could hear all of the heads turn to face Hillary to see if this was a revelation. Her smile said it wasn't.
Hillary wasn't about to let that happen. She'd had her eye on my brother from the moment he got to the library, and so she made a story of her own, a not really twisted ankle. That allowed her to hang on my brother for the next 20 minutes, and I think after the first 10, he was in love with her.
Adorable.
So, I want to toast to the new Mr. and Mrs. Nicholas Stone. To finding each other,
he said. Then his eyes zeroed in on mine, as if speaking directly to me.
To doing whatever you have to get what you want.
It was like he'd just poured lava on me.
Oh, I almost forgot.
His eyes turned playful.
They were both fall down drunk. The library is the name of a bar on campus.
I think people chuckled. Maybe Hillary scoffed at this being revealed. All I could think about was the meaning in his words. Susan leaned over and clinked her glass of champagne against mine when I held it up. Logan didn't sit down. He pulled the glass from my hand and set both of ours on the table, took my hand and tugged me from my seat. I followed him out the door down a long hallway.
Where are we going?
He didn't answer because I didn't think he knew. We wandered through an empty bar and then into a darkened office that looked like it wasn't in use. He shut the door and pressed my back against it, his face an inch from mine.
I'm over your rule.
Before I could respond, he set his mouth on mine. Yes. Oh my God, yes. His kiss was filled with so much longing I gasped against it. His soft lips teased, his tongue slipped into my mouth to stroke mine, and it eased a moan from me. Then he began to use his hands. One slipped behind my neck to hold me into his kiss, while the other closed on my waist so the rest of our bodies could touch.
Logan,
I tried to get out more between kisses, but the week spent without had made us both hungry to make up for lost time. He mumbled. Lips returned to mine, greedy and insistent, demanding my participation, which I was all too ready to give. My hands clung to him. I wanted to sink inside his skin, to rip his jacket off, to ball my fists in his dress shirt, wrinkle it, and pull it up so I could slide my hands beneath. He wouldn't like wrinkles in his shirt. That was the thought that made me go cold.
I have to tell you something, I said. April Kelly is here.
What?
He'd heard me because he'd gone rigid.
How?
She came with her mother.
He straightened, stepping away, and the desire inside me complained when the heat of his body was gone. His face hardened and soured, layer by layer.
Did you two talk?
His voice was cold. Not really. Chelsea pulled me away. He ran a hand through his hair.
What did she say?
I gave him a rundown of the brief encounter and repeated what Chelsea had told me.
12 years? I asked. You started dating when you were
15.
They'd been kids. Can I ask what happened?
We weren't right for each other.
Wasn't that ultimately the reason all couples broke up? There had to be so much more to the story. How had it taken them 12 years to figure that out? Logan's face was a total fucking enigma. He seemed to be studying me, and I could sense I had to tread carefully. Now was definitely not the time to go investigating into his backstory.
Okay. I liked your toast, I said, hoping it sounded as sincere as I meant it.
He blinked as if stunned at my topic change. Then he looked pleased. Yes,
I was willing to accept another non-answer from him. The pads of his fingers skimmed over my neck, up to cup my face in a hand. He dipped his head to brush his lips across mine.
Yeah?
He said.
Thanks.
He left his warm hand on my jawline.
Look, I know you probably want to talk about that.
It's fine. You can tell me about it later when you want to.
A stunned Logan was so different from any other version. He'd expected me to push, but that wasn't my way. I had no problem with compromise.
His kiss now was on fire, but over too soon.
I have ideas of doing things you'd call highly inappropriate to you right now, but...
We have to get back. He nodded.
I'd like to hold highly inappropriate for later. Does that sound agreeable to you?
Yes. I matched his pretend serious tone. That's acceptable. During dinner, he had one hand on my knee beneath the table, at times in a dangerously inappropriate spot. I think he liked the blush he drew out of me whenever it crept too high and I had to shift in my seat to guide it back to my knee. This wedding was one motherfucking powerful aphrodisiac. During Nick and Hillary's first dance, I'd turned in my chair to face the dance floor, and Logan's arm slipped around my waist, pulling me to lean back into him. He kissed my bare shoulder right where it met my neck, and I had to bite my lip. Heat sizzled down my body, through every nerve, until it reached between my thighs. The next dance was the bridal party, but the newlyweds let the party choose their own partners. I was on my feet and in his arms a moment later. You can dance, boss? I whispered.
I can slow dance like an eighth grader, yes.
His hands settled in the small of my back, and my arms slid around his shoulders, and we turned slowly in a circle to a sweet love song, our feet shuffling beneath us. As we finished a rotation, there was a scowl painted on April's pretty face. I don't think of myself as a particularly petty person, but I'd finished my glass of champagne and was feeling catty. I curled a hand into his soft hair and turned his face to mine, pressing my lips to his. He was as into putting on a show as I was, yet I'd forgotten how good kissing between us was and how it had been denied, so it flared wildly, deepening. A hand threaded through my hair as his tongue tasted mine.
Stop showing us up,
Nick joked. I hadn't realized we'd stopped our eighth grade dancing or that the bride and groom were right beside us, and now April's seat was empty. Besides being fans of booze, Hillary's family tore up the dance floor. It was a massive pile of sweaty bodies, young and old, shaking it to classic wedding fodder on the hardwood. Logan didn't dance, nor did either of his brothers. They seemed content to stand in a semicircle and critique the crowd, each with a drink clasped in hand. Since he didn't dance, Logan had no problem farming me out to other men in his family. Uncles, cousins, and his grandfather, who turned out to be the best dancer of the bunch. It was getting late and I was tiring, dancing with a drunk cousin who wobbled unsteadily, when I glanced over and saw him deep in conversation. Nick and Garrett were gone. It was just Logan and the blonde, his one and only ex. Whatever they were talking about, neither of them looked too happy about it. I fought the urge to go and interrupt, but when Blake had shown up drunk at my apartment, Logan had been understanding. I could do the same. The DJ announced the next song would be the last, and a slow, haunting love song filled the room. April turned away from Logan and thundered off, his gaze moving to me. He approached and held his arms out, wordlessly asking me to dance.
I didn't even come close to out-drinking Hillary's family.
I remarked, my forehead against his neck, fighting the urge to ask about her.
Are you even buzzing?
No, I was too busy, I scolded. You could have warned me that you don't dance.
If it helps, you're a big hit with the family.
That did help.
I stole a bottle of champagne from the bar,
he said.
I thought we could have a glass back at the room before I claim my rain check.
My pulse jumped. The image of his head between my legs, my fingers tangled in his hair, flashed in my dirty mind. What kind of Logan was I going to get tonight? It worked out that I was able to drive, because the shuttle to the hotel was full. He couldn't drive. Even though he'd only had a few drinks, he admitted he rarely drank.
I got that all out of my system in college, and it's not good for training,
he said when he climbed into the passenger seat of his own car. I couldn't tell he was impaired, but since I hadn't had a drink in hours, it wasn't a big deal. The hotel was just down the road, but he glanced over at me at one point when we were stopping at a long light, a weird look crossing his face. You don't like me driving your car, I said with a wicked tone. Such a control freak, and I loved it.
Maybe, but it's not personal. Why are you smiling?
Because I like watching you squirm, boss. For effect, I shifted into neutral and revved the engine. Oh, he really didn't like that. The minivan beside me looked at us like we were idiots. Think I can take them? I teased.
Maybe think about the fact that there could be consequences to your actions.
It was another joke that might not be a joke at all.
Think about what I might do to punish you.
There was a gleam in his eye that stole my breath. The hotel room was about what I expected. A king-sized bed dominated the room, opposite a wardrobe that concealed a TV and minibar. As soon as our luggage was in, he went to get ice for the champagne. I sank down to sit on the edge of the bed, undid the straps on my heels, and let my tired feet rest flat on the floor. What the hell was this feeling in my stomach? Was I nervous? Things were different now, though. The revelation left me spinning. He'd only been in a relationship with one other person. Sure, he'd slept with way more people, but I'd had 5 times as many relationships as he had. Who exactly was the more inexperienced one now? I'm torn, I said when he returned with the bucket in hand, on peeling that tuxedo off of you and making you leave it on. All I got was a seductive smile. My insides quivered. Skilled fingers undid the foil and cage on the cork, then put a towel over the top and popped it. Not the first bottle of champagne you've opened, huh? He poured the bubbling liquid into a glass and offered it to me.
No, it's not.
It wasn't all that cold, but it still tasted divine. He poured himself a glass, but didn't join me on the bed. He leaned against the desk and took a few sips, watching me, curious. What is it? I asked.
I'm just wondering how much longer you're going to go without asking me about her. I'm impressed you haven't, but then again, I'm finding new impressive qualities you've got every day.
It was both sweet and dirty, a compliment with a sexual skew on it. I told you that you can tell me what you want when you want to. His eyes warmed and then went serious.
April and I were together for so long, momentum took over. After we made it through the first year of college, we were stuck on a one-way street.
He took a sip of his drink, but his focus never left mine.
Our families went on vacation together. Everyone was pressuring us to get married, even though we already felt like we were married. We fought like we were married.
He said it hesitantly.
I don't like to fail. I thought I could make it work.
My breath caught. I knew all about that.
April wanted everything to stay the same, to live in the suburbs, to hang out with her family on the weekends. She likes to be in control, to have routines, to be organized. Everything always her way.
Uncompromising, I whispered. He gave me a bitter half-smile.
When I took the job in the city, an hour commute each way, after she told me not to, she was furious. There was an ultimatum,